T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Darryl, I got mad at your tweet last night.
Yeah, what else is new?
What was your tweet that I got mad at? It was not just you. It was all the beat reporters after the Ravens won. You all annoyed me.
Oh, because I said
and then
they're probably going to run away with the division because they look like the team to beat?
Yes, and then I turned you into a straw man. I said that you all said the Browns have no chance to win the division, which none of you really said it, but I kind of made you all – I said that you all said it. But I was just – because I was annoyed by all your tweeting about the Ravens last night. The season's not over.
I thought you were off Twitter.
I actually – well, I went on it today for the first time in a while. But I didn't see Darryl.
Conveniently.
What a hypocrite.
I didn't see Darryl's tweet actually on Twitter. I saw it on the Bleacher Report app.
Well, look at you, Darryl.
Because under the Browns, he and the other beat reporters
popped up. Well, I made TMZ today, too.
What?
For what?
For what?
My Kareem. Kareem Hunt photos.
Oh, good.
That's the only time I want to be on TMZ is if they're using my content. I do not want to be the subject on TMZ.
You just can't tweet that picture during practice.
Correct.
Just can't tweet it during practice.
Correct.
Because God forbid the word gets out that Kareem Hunt's practicing before practice ends. What a tragedy that would be. Darryl, to the point of writing the Browns, are you writing the Browns off in the division?
No, absolutely not.
So you're saying I created a straw man?
You took my tweet out of context.
Yes. Oh, that's what the players say all the time. Took it out of context. Everything's out of context. Anyway, seriously, though.
Nobody takes things out of context better than you do.
I am the king of that. Yes.
You are.
The Browns are not done yet. But that comment by Freddie when he took the shot at Tony on the feeling vindicated by the Dallas thing, that was scary. That shows he either doesn't realize he made an egregious error or won't admit he made an egregious error. Either way, it's concerning.
Both. And also, it took a 63-yard field goal to get the second score, which is not easy to do in the NFL.
The bottom line is, when you look at that situation, you've got to play the odds, right? Now, sometimes you go with the lower odds if there's a lot of upside, but you don't go with significantly lower odds. And the odds of the Browns getting a second score against Seattle versus the odds of Seattle getting time and getting a score were much slimmer, and it was a terrible decision.
Well, I think that his argument will hold a little more water if, after that interception, Russell Wilson doesn't fly down the field 88 yards in 67 seconds and put a touchdown on the board. Like, if they do force another possession there and get the ball back without Seattle scoring, then that, to me, backs Freddie's thinking. But when you throw the interception in that situation and you're banking on your defense getting off the field, that's why you held your timeouts, that's why you managed it the way you did, then that just doesn't – that's why it doesn't make sense to me, because you gave up an 8-play, 88-yard drive in 67 seconds for a touchdown that turned – I think it was, 20-12 at the time, turned it into 20-18. And then your argument, I think, loses a lot of steam. That's my –
I mean, just think about where our mindset is right now if the Browns had beaten the Seahawks.
Right, absolutely. Completely
different.
Right,
it's totally different, because then you're only – and then you're only a game and a half back on the Ravens instead of 2.5, and it doesn't seem as daunting, especially with the Patriots coming up. But I was saying before, I want the Patriots to win tonight because I want them to be undefeated.
I do too.
The Browns play them. What about you?
Yeah, I think so. I thought Wisconsin needed to be undefeated.
That stinks.
By the way, Ohio State.
How about this? You know, Doug Deacon was at the game because Deacon's in
the Illinois game. Yeah,
and it was their homecoming. And remember we had him on, and we were talking about how they did the Buckus statue the previous week?
Yeah.
Right, against Michigan?
Yeah.
And he was like, why don't they do it for homecoming? They should have, because they beat Wisconsin. Their first top 10 victory, Illinois, I think since 2011 or something. It's crazy. Yeah.
Well, Michigan's on a similar streak right now, too.
Will you and Keith stop hating on Lovie Smith now?
No, he's a terrible coach.
I mean, beat Wisconsin.
By the way, I talked to somebody else that used to play there, and not too high on him either. So
just beat Wisconsin. Yeah.
Well, okay, that was more about Wisconsin blowing that game than it was
Wisconsin played the worst game of their life.
But your boy Pat Fitzgerald is 1-5.
Yeah, they also have been through three quarterbacks this year.
Yeah, they're on their third string quarterback, and they've been to a bowl game like the last 6 years straight.
Eh. They're a poor man's Iowa.
That's true.
And it'd be one thing if Pat Fitzgerald had like five straight years of this, which is not the case. Lovie Smith's on like year four of this.
And not to mention, it's tough to, dude, Northwestern, it's tough to get kids into that school, Adam.
Wait a second. Lovie Smith, has he been there 4 years already?
He has been.
But that's still not fair. That program was such a disaster. You can't kill him for that program, Keith.
That program was not that much of a disaster when he got there.
It wasn't?
All right, no. I derailed us. I'm sorry. I'm talking Illinois football.
My gosh. I mean, you're unfairly crushing Lovie.
Dude, he's terrible. I love Lovie. I mean, he recruited my brother to Ohio State.
That's not fair.
He was the secondary coach at Ohio State back in 90.
Under Cooper?
Under Cooper, 95, yeah.
I mean.
Speaking of duds, Lovie. John Cooper.
He's a hell of a coach. He's going to be Michigan.
Right. Or all Michigan right. State.
Anyway.
True. I love
let's
John.
Move on.
I love John
let's,
Cooper.
Let's move
I,
on.
I committed to John Cooper.
And let's move on to the Browns.
Played for Tress.
Played for Tress.
My boy from Youngstown State, yeah, Jim Tress.
Coach Pugich.
Got you a ring.
That's right. All right, Adam, sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. We all
going down memory lane.
Sidebar there. Anywho, all right, Daryl. So the Patriots this week.
Can't wait.
First of all, the Browns do have the advantage, even though the game's on the road. The Browns do have a big advantage here in that they got 2 weeks off and the Patriots are on a short week.
Yep.
That's kind of unusual. But that's a big advantage that hopefully this rest and they can take advantage of that.
Well, it gave Baker time, too, to get over this this hip injury that he suffered against the Seahawks. He looked good. I mean, we get to see about 20, 25 minutes of practice there, so it's tough to glean a lot other than just, you know, taking attendance, seeing who's on the field, who's participating,
sure,
and whatnot. But Baker, he was moving out there. Dustin knows the drills. When the quarterbacks are throwing, they'll start at one end, and then when everyone runs their routes and catches the balls, the quarterbacks then sprint down to where all the receivers and backs are, and then they come back the other way. And Baker was booking it, looked good, looked fluid, didn't really see any issues or him favoring anything or limping or anything like that. So Freddie said he's good to go today, and so they got that going for him. But talking to a couple players in the locker room, they said last week was more about fundamentals as opposed to preparing for the Patriots, even though I'm guessing the coaching staff hopefully did a little work on the Patriots last week in addition to their self-scout. But today began the process. You know, they got that extra practice today where they started working against the concepts that Bill Belichick and the Pats run.
I got to turn the microphone on here. You're such a jerk.
What did I do?
Nothing.
I was saving you.
I know you did. I admit it. I made a mistake. Didn't
believe
this.
Go ahead.
I've done this for 9 years.
Yeah.
Almost. Daryl, tonight, as we mentioned, all the players, the Browns players are going to be watching this game.
Of course they are.
And Freddie's going to be watching this game. And Freddie's going to be looking for the Patriots to do a 2-for-1 at the end of the first half, too. Because that's just, I mean, he's now on a train to try and prove people wrong, and even though he's wrong. And I would say it to his face.
You know what? I bet you he comes back Wednesday with like the stat. Here's all the teams that have run 2-for-1 at the end of the half.
Did you watch the game? I did watch the game.
That
guy made a 63-yard kick. That's not likely. I hope the Patriots look like $1 million tonight. I really do.
Their defense is outstanding. Their offense.
I want the Browns players to know. Like, I hope they just come out and just throttle the Jets and make the Browns just continue. Like, if the Jets win this game tonight, my concern is the Browns players are going to be like, even though Darnold didn't play in that game, they're going to be like, well, the Jets can beat him. We can beat him.
I mean, we
take him lightly. I'm sure.
You beat the garbage out of Baltimore, who just beat Seattle, and you lost to Seattle. So what's that tell you? I understand where you're coming from. I get it. I am with you. I hope the Patriots come out. They stay undefeated. They play extremely well. If anything, just to really open the Browns' eyes to know that they're going to have to bring it Sunday afternoon at Foxborough. And it's the late game. It's the 4:25 game, the national TV game. And
we have Nance this week?
Yeah.
Oh, man, sweet.
Yep.
Sweet.
So number one broadcast team. But, you know, they're going to have to play a perfect football game on both sides of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jamie Collins is playing like the Jamie Collins the Browns thought they were getting when Sashi traded for him. And then once he got paid, well, he just
that was that.
Yeah, that was that. Now he goes back to New England and he looks like a Pro Bowler all over again. But that Patriot defense is something else. I've watched a couple of Patriots games, and I mean, Tom Brady, there are times where he looks his age. He looks like he's 41, 42 years old. But he's still Tom freaking Brady. And Bill Belichick is still Bill Belichick. So they certainly have their work cut out for him, no question about it. But hopefully the Browns, you know, come ready to play. I will say this, though. If they think they're going to get well against the Patriots, you know, all these issues that we've been talking about for the last week during this time off, I've got some real bad news for the Browns, because New England is the last team you want to get well against.
This great comeback that I think and Dustin thinks that Baker's going to have, if Baker doesn't play better, if Baker continues to turn the ball off over at an alarming rate, the Browns are not winning anything. They're going to finish 6-10 or 7-9. If he keeps doing that, he's got to play better. Now he will, probably, because they're playing mostly bad teams the rest of the way. But he's got to play better. If he doesn't, then forget what the Ravens do, because the Browns won't win enough. Today at Freddie's press conference, there was about 5 or 6 questions about the offensive line.
Try 16.
You guys kept asking, well, if you make the change, because Freddie didn't want to admit it. Obviously, they're making a change.
Yeah, they are.
Do we think there's only one change? Is it possible they're changing the left tackle and the right guard?
I think they're going to start with one.
Which makes no sense to me that they would change. Cush has been worse than Robinson.
But they don't. Here's this is the thing. Yeah. Like, I'm not sold that they have the solutions that
they
need.
Probably don't.
But they're doing something for the sake of doing something.
Why would they change the left tackle when the right guard's been worse?
Well, I think that because running the ball, they've been very good. Okay, it's pass protection that's been the biggest issue. And when you think of pass protection, your biggest concern obviously is protecting Baker's blind side, which is your left tackle. So, yeah. I'm not convinced that they have any viable solution internally that's going to be.
It's worth making. I would above change both
be,
guys.
Like, it's going to be tremendously better than what they already have.
Yeah, but the guys they have, those two guys stink anyway. So you might as well give it a shot.
No. I'm not saying that they shouldn't make a change. I'm just trying to temper everyone's expectations. Yeah, I'm just trying to temper people's expectations that these guys are going to come in and all of a sudden, poof, the offensive line's going to be great.
By the way, I don't think the offensive line's been perfectly good the two of the last three games.
It's been okay. Like, Baker's had time to throw.
Yeah, they did a good job against Seattle. And McCray and Teller, you know, yeah, if they were that good, they'd be playing by now. But
here's
they
how
can't
I think
be
of
any
it.
Worse than those two guys.
Here's how we look at it. Baker,
I guess they could be,
has of the 35 starting quarterbacks in the league this year, Baker is ranked 33rd in completion percentage at 56.6. Cam Newton and
Josh Rosen
with the Dolphins are lower than him, okay? He leads the league in interceptions. Somebody has to pay. It's like it's obviously a problem.
Yeah.
We know there's a problem somewhere. We got to show that we're trying to fix it, so this is how we're going to show that we're trying to fix it. Because Baker's the franchise. You're not doing anything to mess with that, and I'm not saying you should, but it's just we're trying to show you that we are taking action to fix a problem that clearly exists. But to Dustin's point, I mean, I think that there have been times where the offensive line has played adequate enough for Baker to be okay. The problem is from watching the replays, it doesn't seem like Baker's confident, comfortable, and trusting of that line. So maybe this is also being done to maybe put a little seed in his head, a little peace of mind. Right. Hey, you know,
last year we switched up the left tackle and we felt better, and maybe he gets the same magic again this year, whatever. By the way, on an unrelated note, guys, I don't know if you've seen this. Mason Rudolph spoke today for the first time since that big hit that led to that concussion.
Yeah, what did he say?
He said, I don't remember the play at all.
Like, he doesn't remember anything that happened?
He says, everything before the play and after the play, it was weird. I had to go back and ask the coach, what was the play call? Because for some reason, just that play was kind of blank. But everything before and after was clear as day.
So funny, man. Concussions are scary.
Yeah.
No, I always tell people I had a concussion in the national championship game.
Right. That you kept playing?
That I kept playing through.
Yeah.
And, like, there are so many things that happened in that game that I don't remember.
Wow.
And I watched the game. Yeah, yeah. I'll watch the game back.
Yeah.
And, like,
did you know at the time you had a concussion?
I mean, I've seen stars.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not laughing, like, about it, but yeah, it's scary. And I'll never forget when it was, like, it was the first touchdown that Miami had. Didn't know where I was at, and I was supposed to be on the slot against Roscoe Parrish.
Yeah.
In man coverage, and Doss was yelling at me, "Fox, get in there." And I was like, literally dumb, like, I don't know what's going on.
Oh my God.
And so then Doss took him and got beat for a slant for a touchdown.
Oh, was he yelling at you?
I was like, dude, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
I don't know where I'm at. I don't know. I finally
How did you pull it together?
I mean, I kind of came back a little bit to it,
yeah.
But
Did you get the smelling salts on the sideline? I'm not making light of it. I mean, that's what they did, right? They gave you the smelling salts?
I mean, listen, we played football back in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
Like, this wasn't a thing.
Right. And nobody came out for a concussion.
No.
You just shook it off and went back in.
I blitzed early in the game. I blitzed off the edge, and Willis McGahee stonewalled me.
Yeah.
And we were helmet to helmet, and I was the hardest I've ever been hit in my life.
Mm.
I mean, that mother sucker is a grown man. Yeah. I mean, he is a grown-ass man.
Yeah.
And I was just a pup, man. I was like 20 years old. I couldn't even have a beer.
Yeah.
And this guy's just stonewalled me.
Man, that is scary.
Yep.
So you watch it now and there are plays you don't remember.
Dude, I don't remember anything from that game.
Yeah. Anyway, Mason Rudolph, I think, is going to play this week.
Hey, good for him.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like the Colt McCoy hit.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that really got everything going in this direction, to pulling guys out for the concussions?
Yeah, don't you go calling me for playoff tickets when we get this turned around. Do that, Bull.
That's right.
Don't you do that.
When the Browns finally make the playoffs,
great moments in Browns history. I might write a book someday on just some of the dumbest quotes.
You can run it. You can throw it.
Those bottles don't pack much of a wallop.
Yeah.
Teeny tiny fracture of a non-weight bearing bone. God, we've had some classics over
some
the
moments.
Years. Oh, my goodness gracious.
You could run it, or you could throw it, right?
Yeah, it's Pat.
Am I right? Right?
11
right.
guys.
It's funny.
Pat Shermer, big Dustin Fox fan, by the way.
We actually are buddies. Pat's a great guy.
He's a very nice
Pat's
guy.
Pat's a great guy.
You guys have made up.
We were never at each other's at odds. I mean, he just called me at one time because I was ripping him on the radio.
Yeah.
But we're buddies. I mean, he used to listen to the show.
He understood, I think.
He did.
He invited us to his office.
He did.
I know. You guys got called to the principal's office.
He called.
No, it wasn't.
No.
It was more like, hey, I want to be
He wanted
buddy.
To talk with us. he was very friendly.
He was great.
Stop crushing my sarcasm, will you?
But he's
stop letting your facts get in the way of my sarcasm.
I'm sorry.
You think Shermer's going to survive in New York?
No.
No.
No?
No.
What if Daniel Jones is good?
Daniel Jones has been terrible since that first game.
I watched the whole game. He was sacked 8 times yesterday.
Yeah. They're
to a team that had like 2 sacks on the season.
I understood why he took the job, but bad job to take for him. Bad.
You'd think the Giants would be a good job. And
he's so thin-skinned.
Yeah.
You know, and
he's not a head coach.
And that market is I mean, if he thought we were bad here in Cleveland.
We'll see. I'm pulling for him. I really do. I love Pat.
I've heard some rumblings that he has realized that we were not nearly as awful.
You think?
As he thought we were at the time.
Whatever. The Browns have allowed how many quarterback hits?
I think it's 16 sacks and 25 quarterback hits off the top of my head.
22.
22.
You know, that's near the bottom of the league. Not a lot. If I'm reading these stats right. Quarterback hits, 30th, the Browns with 22. What do you have to say about that?
I do believe I said.
What do you have to say about that, Daryl?
I said earlier in the show that like the offensive line hasn't played as bad as.
He's been sacked 16 times. Is that accurate?
Yeah.
Quarterback hits, Baker is only 22. So if you combine that with the sacks, it's 38. That's not that high. I
apologize. I was off by 2. I said 40.
Yeah, it's 38. You look, Russell Wilson, 60 times. Matt Ryan, 72 times. Deshaun Watson, 62. And this is just the good teams. I'm not even mentioning the Dolphins quarterbacks that have been hit 74 times. Jared Goff, 50. Carson Wentz, 51. Philip Rivers, 50. Josh Allen, 52. Prescott, 45. So, I think you could use upgrades on that offensive line, but I've been saying consistently that the complaints, the blaming the line for Baker has been overblown. They were bad against the 49ers.
His clock has been off.
And not great against the Rams. The other games, they've been fine.
His clock has been off since week one. That internal clock that quarterbacks have as far as when to get rid of the ball. Mm-hmm. His field vision, for whatever reason, I think, has also been off, which it contributes to the clock being off. I mean, it's just a bunch of different contributing factors. I don't think it's just one specific thing, and that's why I've said that thinking you're going to get well against the New England Patriots, you're living in the clouds. It's not realistic. Thinking that the offensive line switching one or two guys out there is going to solve all the problems, you're living in the clouds. The self-evaluation or whatever that they did during the bye week, like, it's not one thing, one minor detail that they need to fix. It's a bunch of stuff that needs to be fixed on both ends, both on the quarterback end, both on the line end, both on the receiver end, both on the protections end, just all around. It's not just, hey, let's fix this one thing and we're in great shape. No, they have a lot of stuff that has to be adjusted and corrected. And my fear and my thought is that, contrary to what John Dorsey said last week, and it goes with the penalties as well, I think the habits are the habits. And I'm not convinced that all that stuff is correctable in the middle of a season. I'm not convinced of it. Prove me wrong. I'll take some barbecue sauce on my crow, but I'm of the belief that once you start forming those habits, it's there.
The turnovers, the undisciplined play, the penalties. I don't know. We'll find out.
I mean, it's easy to say it's fixable. Of course, it is fixable, but let's see it get fixed. And the Patriots are a team. Like New England, they wait. They're at a point now, they just wait for you to beat yourself. They're just so disciplined in everything that they do. And they're not a perfect team. They don't play perfect games. And they can still beat you by two, three touchdowns by playing an imperfect game because they're waiting for you to make that mistake. They're waiting for you to commit that penalty at the wrong time or turn the ball over at the wrong time or blow a protection at the wrong time. And they capitalize.
Darrell, what's going on with Higgins?
Freddie claims he's not in the doghouse.
Okay.
All right.
You believe that?
I think that there seems to be a tendency to lean more toward Callaway over Higgins. Also, this is the last year of Higgins' deal. Let's throw the business side of this into it as well. Higgins can be a free agent in March, and let's be real, with the Browns' receiving core being what it is, the Browns are not going to pay him big money to keep him around. Also, sure. John Dorsey did not draft him, so there's no loyalty to keep him around either. I'm not trying to infer anything. I'm just stating this is the entire situation here. So, I don't know. I honestly have more faith in Higgins as a player than I do Antonio Callaway. Callaway might have more raw talent, more raw speed, whatever. But if I'm putting a guy on the field that I feel like I can depend on, I'm putting Rashard Higgins on the field before I even think of putting Antonio Callaway on the field. That's just me.
Sure.
So, I'm curious to see what the usage is like this week at New England.
Adam?
Yeah.
What do you think about that? You think Higgins is in the doghouse?
It's hard to explain what's going on with that situation. Because at first, when Freddie talked about it last week, he said, well, we had a series of plays for him. We just didn't get to those plays. And then the next day he said to you guys, well, we just thought he should wait another week. And my thought was, if we had to wait another week, why did he make him active?
Right. Especially after telling us on Friday to take your thing even further.
Yeah.
If he's healthy, he will play.
It was weird. I think he'll play this week and we'll see.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.